here this morning. We've got a small but mighty force. Well, I was thinking this morning about springtime, and I wanted to read you just a little bit of a start of an Ode to Spring by Mary Robinson. And it says, "Light-glowing season, color-breathing spring, decked in cerulean splendors, vivid, warm, shedding soft luster on the rosy hours and calling forth their beauties, balmy spring. To thee, the vegetating world begins to pay fresh homage. Every southern gale whispers thy coming. Every tepid shower revivifies thy charms." And it just made me think about how all of us appreciate the springtime. But for Cavalarians, we know that it's the power of rebirth and new growth. So let's breathe this morning three deep breaths on the thought about the beauties of spring, the revival of energy that we always sense in the springtime, and to think about how we always revive spring every time we come into a one cycle, and it's time to do something fresh to make life interesting and progressive. So life is to be loved and enjoyed, so let's breathe on the thought of happy springtime and what it does for each of us. Our first speaker this morning is, of course, a lady who's well known to us all and loved and appreciated for her love for people and all she does to help others. And she's the Cavalarian Philosophy's ambassador. So please welcome Doria Delane to speak on Cavalarian creeds.
Everyone. And thank you, Lorinda, for the warm introduction. Really, we are all ambassadors of this wonderful principle. And some of us do have a privilege for working in the office, and truly it is a privilege to be able to work for the Cavalarian Philosophy. But once we all put our feet on the path, open that first page of the introductory course or life analysis training, we've discovered that we all put our feet on the path of this wonderful journey of life. This morning, I thought it was interesting to reflect back over the young philosophers' creeds. And many of us who perhaps went right into the senior classes maybe never had a chance to go over and review the creeds that are often taught to the young people. And there are 12 basic creeds. And in going over the creeds over time, you come to appreciate that these creeds really are the foundation of the classes, from life analysis training through to cycle management training, healthy living, how to mentally free, and principles in action. Because they are encompassing the whole basic principle that the philosophy teaches. The first creed says, "I believe in God the principle." And we will see a repetition through the creeds. They say, "I believe." And at first, they are a belief. There's something that we learn about and we have trust in. But after we learn about the principles of life, we come to appreciate that they're not just a belief system, they're a truth. And that truth is a building concept in our lives. And the privilege of that is it builds a logical, intelligent, foundation upon which we can base our lives. There's so many theories about life. The first creed says, I believe in God the principle. Now that has to be one of the most conflicting and confusing aspects of life. What is God? Interesting going on the internet and seeing a perspective on the myriad religions and philosophies and belief systems out there. You realize there are so many different interpretations of that one word, God. There's a website called Belief-O-Matic that was rather interesting. And it's a website that helps you to define what are your religious views in life. And it says, click on here, and at the end, you'll be able to define what your spiritual beliefs are. And there's about 12 different sections. And so it's like a guessing game. I believe God is. I believe God has goddesses. And so on and so forth. But it's interesting, the first five statements say, do you believe that there's only one God, a corporeal spirit, which has a body, supreme personal God, almighty? Or do you believe that there's only one God, an incorporeal being, which means no body, spirit, supreme, creator? And then there's different references to multiple gods, goddesses, the supreme force. Now this is the one that we relate to more. The supreme force is the impersonal ultimate reality or life force, ultimate truth, cosmic order, absolute bliss, universal soul, which resides within each and every one and beyond us. And then it goes on to whether God's a real reality or a force in life, whether it's important to you or whether it is important to you, or none of the above. And so you have a chance to say, what do I believe in? Well, we're so privileged in the Kabbalistic philosophy to come to appreciate how this principle of God, which we term as God the principle, is actually the foundation, the formative concept that we build our lives upon. And why? Because it puts everything else in its place as a part of an evolutionary, intelligent principle. And what is a principle but a law or truth of life? So right at the very beginning of our teachings, we discover that if we can look at life from a universal viewpoint, then we have developed a foundation for building blocks towards a more universal concept of life. As we learn to define life from this basic universal law, what symbol have we often used? The circle. And how many times have we looked at the circle over the years and thought to ourselves, that's really an interesting symbol. And yet as we start analyzing and seeing it as a basic formative principle in our lives, then we realize that it is a foundation that gives us such logic and analysis to base other principles upon. Why is this so important in our lives? Again, because we realize that what we can see is an expression of what we can't see. We come to realize that life is based on principles of the abstract, the highest intelligence becoming involved, and has its expression through life, through these basic principles. The highest becomes the lowest. The cause, which we can't see, has its expression through the reality which we can see. And as we look and analyze life in its practical form, we start realizing there has to be a cause behind everything. And then we come to appreciate that this is a universal, basic law upon which all life exists. God is just really a word or an identity that's been attached to some universal force or intelligence behind life. And we realize that there is something greater. You just have to put a seed in the ground to see it unfolding through an intelligence. The wonders of the birth of a child. You realize, yes, it's formed through male-female, but it's a part of a universal principle. So at the very core of our philosophy, we have a universal truth as a foundation as an understanding of how we can relate to this universal intelligence of life. In one of the, opening up the introductory mathematical books, the Life Knowledge Training in lesson number 2, it sometimes is a little overwhelming to realize how much depth is in those first 2 books of our philosophy studies. Mr. Parker writes, "To know God the principle, we must first know the spiritual power of mathematics." So why is mathematics so important to understanding about God? And Mr. Parker goes to tell us that mathematics is a universal language because mathematics is consistent. Whereas language, you can say a word here in English and you go over to another country and say the same word and there's no communication. You can't understand because languages change the intelligence of thought. But mathematics is consistent. You may call one or a different word, but mathematics is a consistent principle. So we come to appreciate in understanding the God principle, we need to understand how that abstract principle manifests on this earth. And we realize through discovery of the involution and evolution principle that we are a part of 2 basic laws that have measurement of life and the intelligence of life through language. So those are the basic precepts behind why we look at life as an abstract intelligence manifesting in life to basic laws and principles. Let me take it a step further. The second creed says, "I believe in the power of the word." Well, without word, we have no expression. We have no communication. We have no ability to exchange thoughts. We just looked at each other. Eventually, you'd want to say something. Showing how communication is so important. We may not speak the same language, but through interpretation, through communication, we can exchange ideas and thoughts. And what is it in the word that is so important? Is it the actual word itself, which we know conveys the intelligence, but there is an energy behind the word? Word or language allows mind to grow in knowledge, ultimately towards wisdom. And so what we convey creates our lives, really. It conveys our intelligence. It conveys our meaning. And we know the power behind the word is what is being conveyed. If we have a different thought than what we're conveying, eventually you will feel that because it is the intent that actually conveys through the word. And we know, we've experienced, when someone says something strongly to us, what are we feeling? Their emotional dissatisfaction, their emotional intent. Or when someone speaks of kindness, warmth, gentleness, appreciation, you just sense that understanding and that lift from the intelligence behind the word. And so we come to appreciate how important it is to not just verbalize, but to be aware of the power and the energy that we're conveying behind the word, because word is a building power of intelligence. And so it's so important that we always are aware of releasing the proper energy behind those thoughts and those words. We've recently learned how important intent is behind the word. And you know that little word, no problem, that we just recently learned about? Well, how many times have we caught ourselves saying, no problem? And our intent is, I'm happy to do this for you. It is not an obligation. But we're using 2 negative words. We're using the word no, which is opposite to yes, I'd like to help you. And we're using problem. Now, what's a problem? Something you can't solve, or it takes a long time to resolve it. So that simple little phrase is such an example of how word has an intent and an energy. And unbeknown to us, that energy actually wears us out. Instead of having the freedom to express it with a lifting energy, we're working against the mental weight, and we don't even realize it. So really makes us more and more aware how important it is to be conscious of the words and the intent we said. And so that's just one little example. So do we express exactly what we mean? In learning to develop and incorporate the 9 basic qualities, are we candid in expression of the one, or are we just a little blunt and we're thinking we were being straightforward and candid? Are we delicate and intuitive and sensitive to someone by saying a kind word, or we are a little bit indifferent and perhaps don't quite capture the essence and we leave a person dangling? Do they mean this or don't they mean this? Or the 3 qualities that just can express anything, but maybe we've been a little bit argumentative and have raised someone else's emotional level, and we did it, even though we were thinking we were the life of the party and having fun. So it just really makes us realize how important it is to be more exacting and more aware of how important the power or the intelligence is behind the word. Just like that song, "So to be sure it's true when you say I love you, it's a sin to tell a lie." Well, is it a sin? Well, of course it is, because it's against the truth, and it will have a repercussion. So the more we can express on the positive qualities, the more we will always be releasing the highest expression of the power of the word. I believe in a balanced name. How many believe in a balanced name? Raise your hand! Thank you. Now, why do we believe in a balanced name? Is it because maybe we had an unbalanced name before and we saw the comparison? That's part of it, isn't it? And perhaps many of you never had an unbalanced name or never had a name that was incorrect for us. But through research, through study, through application, through evaluation of how this principle of name has an influence in our lives and how it builds, not just an influence, how it is the foundation of developing our intelligence, we see it as a truth. How many times have you talked to someone by the name of Linda and told them they're a little bit one-track minded, maybe a little bit skeptical? You know, they work at things until they push and push until they wonder why they've worn themselves out and someone else gets the benefit. Or how many of us have talked to George and told them what a wonderful person they are and they get all puffed up and so excited? But how come you find it difficult to maintain evenness, to be consistent in your happiness? And they'll probably hang their head and say, oh, you're right. Oh, we were talking to a family one day, and they were 2, 3, 5, and they were telling us how dyslexic their family was and how unstable they were. So isn't that the proof of this principle? We don't just have to believe it. We know it because we understand there is a truth behind harmony in name. So what is our name? We've discovered it is our thinking. Because we are attuned to qualities of thought through language. And we know that our name is a symbol of an alphabet, which has a mathematical position, which has a qualitative aspect as we learn the characteristics. So that becomes a truth rather than just a belief in the foundation of our lives. So the first 3 creeds, I believe in God the principle, I believe in the power of the word, and I believe in a balanced name, are all a part of the introductory course, Life Analysis Training. And we go back over those lesson material, and the depth of the description that Mr. Parker has written is so lifting and broadening, and it becomes a truth because we can prove it in our lives. It's not just a theory where we pick up and read something anymore. The next creed is, I believe in obedience to the spiritual father and earthly parents. You know the old saying about spare the rod and spoil the child? Well, we don't believe in Ella Stick, you know, whipping your child. That's not what obedience and discipline mean. But it does mean the punishment fits the crime. And so whatever is required to stimulate the mind, that's what should be applied. Obedience to an adult is really taking self-responsibility. Obedience to a child is listening and learning from its parents' truth and logic. And the more responsibility we take for our lives, we come to appreciate that we can analyze and think and weigh. And what is our spirit? Who is our spiritual father? Well, we recognize the spiritual father is the universal principle or the God principle. Just like the law of gravity, no matter what we think, just try jumping off a 10-story building and see what happens. It works. Do we have obedience to gravity? Or do we have respect to gravity? Do we have obedience to the principles of good health so we know that our bodies will be vital and healthy and strong? Or do we recognize taking on self-responsibility? And it's a strong word because it's trying to waken us up to realize how important it is if we want to have health, happiness, if we want to build stability in our lives. And so the more we can make our lives in align with the spiritual father or the God principles of harmony and balance, the more our lives will reflect this heaven upon earth. And of course, our earthly parents, naturally you revere and respect someone who is more mature than you or has wisdom to offer. And so as we give respect, we receive it, and that's how the mind grows, by showing respect and by showing the expression of our intelligent nature. Number five, I believe in daily deep breathing for a clear mind and healthy body. But what is the breath? The breath is life. We come into this earth, on this earth, and the first thing we do is, we receive the power of the breath, and it awakens the solar plexus. If that child was left with no link to mind, no link to intelligence, no link to language, that child would never grow to become an individual, because there's a missing link to the development of the link between the vibration of thought and mind with the brain cells and the nervous system. So it shows, in one sense, that the breath is important to the regeneration of life, but the breath has to be linked to thought and mind in order for it to have its spiritual purpose. We have recently researched different concepts of the breath, and there's different words for the breath, and we've discovered that one is called the chi. And the vitality of the chi is the energy that we develop through deep breathing. And we have, fortunate, we have exercises that we do to stimulate and strengthen the physical body. And this quote is reminding us to do daily deep breathing. How many of us stop at a red light, take a deep breath? I'm sure we all do. We may not do it every red light, but all of a sudden you realize, just take a moment, just stop for a moment. And recently has been mentioned to us the importance during the day of just stopping the activity that we're doing and take that long, deep breath and visualize the oneness within ourselves and then energize it out to the world, energize it out to our environment. Maybe it would save us from some mix-up or some accident or some confusion just that right around the corner. And so the more we use that to individualize ourselves, the more we are protecting ourselves and emitting that energy out into life so that the sphere in front of us becomes one of harmony rather than us being trapped into this mesh of energy that's revolving like a sea of emotion that sometimes is revolving around us. We just take that opportunity to stop, readjust ourselves, and realign ourselves with our oneness. Then we develop more individuality. We develop that freedom, and we develop that connection with our source of being, and that is the energy in our solar plexus. There's so much in every single creed. There's so much in understanding the power of the breath. It vitalizes to build and assist in a healthy body, but it actually is the power and energy to create the clarity and the focus of our minds and our thinking. So the more we can absorb from the breath behind, as a power behind our positive thinking, the more we will have control and vitality in our day. Rather than being depleted at the end of the day, we will be like a regenerating energy and a greater power. It's only natural. We're all under pressures and activity and time constraints and rushing and jobs to be done and deadlines. I mean, it all has an influence in our lives. Absolutely. It's what our life is about. But we have a key that we can use to maintain that individuality throughout the day. And that's what this creed is helping us to understand and appreciate. So I believe my body is the temple of the spirit is the next creed. When you think about a temple, you think of some edifice, some place, some place of worship that you sense when you look at it that there's a higher energy, that it's a place of peace and harmony that person wants to go to get away. It could be just an environment, looking at a beautiful lake. To us, that could be our temple, because earth should be a heaven. And earth should be our temple, our place where we draw from to rebuild and create that harmony. So our environment is our temple. This creed is saying our body is our temple. Why? Because as we know, it houses our potential or our spiritual purpose. And that is our inner latent spirit of life that's awakened with the first breath of life, defined as our particular purpose in life. And do we cover it up and hide it and restrict it through tension and fear? Or do we release it so it reflects through our visions, through our expressions, through our ideals, through our goals, through our daily activities? Then we are housing that temple in a beautiful spiritual environment, creating the peace and the harmony. And as we raise the vibration of the body, then our temple becomes a free vehicle for the spirit to express through. So the body houses the spirit, and of course should be of a higher vibration, which is expressed through our thoughts and our minds. I believe I must respect and care for my body through proper foods and good habits. Well, we only have one body that we know of. It does change at times, you know. Well, some of us wish it would go higher. But really, we may change in our clothes sizes, we may change in the physical, but how are we changing in respect to our body? And the more we understand the principles upon which the body develops and maintains its vitality and health, the more we create that greater respect for our physical body. Dietary habits are all, we always have to come back to the basics. We can never get away from them. You know, if you eat too much starch, guess what happens? And so we know that. Doesn't mean we can't have fun and enjoy life and just be relaxed. But at a certain point in our lives, we come to realize how that consistency in our eating habits or in our other habits build a solid, balanced physical body. So if we respect our bodies, then we'll respect the desires that we have so that we intake, so that the output creates more harmony and balance within the body and health. So good habits, well, we learn basic habits as a child growing up. We learn to wash our faces and clean our teeth and so on. And we teach our children why this is so important. But eventually the good habits have to be more relative to the mental habits, or what are we putting into our minds, and so that we respect our body so it will be a balanced instrument rather than a tense instrument, because maybe we get too intense over something or we allow ourselves to feel too much. It's a matter of stepping back and saying, okay, create that rhythm, create that harmony. And then we do learn to change, and our body becomes a reflection of the balance through our minds. My goodness, where does the time go? So we'll just run to the last four. I believe I must respect all nature and should not hurt in word or deed. Well, we're all a part of the great universe that never dies, which is another creed. But you realize that as we respect the power of the word, as we respect our actions, then we are actually respecting others. And so we are reflecting harmony in our lives. And as we think, so we are. Our life is but our looking glass. And so the more we become aware that we are a part of nature, nature is a part of us. And if we hurt, then it reflects back. If we're kind, that reflects back. And so it is so important to appreciate that thought, word, and deed are all one, a part of the principle of action and reaction. Number 9, I believe in universal love and tolerance through self-discipline. Well, in learning to incorporate the 9 basic principles, the 9 basic truths of life, of the individuality of the one, right through to the concept of universal love of the 9, then it becomes a part of us. Many of us might not be 9s or have 9 quality in our makeup, but we can all conceive and grow and incorporate that universal perspective, because that is the key to evolution. This God power becomes involved into the lowest, but it wants to evolve to be free and broad and universal like its source is. And so the more we come closer to these universal truths and express them, then we have universal love. Universal love is understanding. Universal love is learning how to give and care for others. We respect our bodies and our words, like the other creeds say, then it becomes an automatic expression to be able to give and share to others. Because that's why we're students. That's why we're members of this philosophy, because we realize we're all one. We're all one breath, one God, one life. And the more universal we can become, the more that energy is like a circle that evolves. As it gives, it comes back and it takes. We don't have to ask for appreciation or return. It is a natural law. As we give, we receive. And so the more we can incorporate the concept of universal love and understanding, rather than becoming involved in self-motivation, the freer we become to be part of these universal laws of life. I believe there is a time to sow and a time to reap, and as I sow, so shall I reap. Well, life is growth. Life is a process of one step leading to the next. And we also recognize, as we were just discussing, it's a principle of action and reaction. You put a seed in the ground, and as long as it's subject to its own law, it will grow and unfold beautifully. If it's distorted and interfered with and pulled out halfway through, it will never reach its fulfillment. So we have an opportunity every single day to reach a fulfillment, to start something, to create it, and to evolve it. Sometimes it might take 9 days, 9 months, or 9 years to have the complete evolution, as the cycle of 1 to 9 shows. But we do have an opportunity to see that every thought we have, everything we seed in our minds, is going to show a reaction. It may not show, as I said, for many, many days, or many weeks, or many months, but eventually there will be a result. You throw a ball against the wall, it's a natural law that it'll come back. We throw a thought out into the world, and it will come back at some time. So we have such a responsibility to realize how important it is to create the seeding of our thought based on the germ of philosophical thinking, and based upon the thought that every action we create will show its reaction in life. I was going to go through, we're all in different cycles, 9 cycles, and it was quite interesting for the exercise to put down right now at this moment what cycle and energy is manifesting in this room and in life for 9 different cycles. Some are in the seeding time, some are in the testing time or strengthening time, some are in the time to let's start something new. So that's all a part of that energy manifesting around us. But how do we link to that? In other words, what is our time showing? Are we seeding something? Are we growing with it? But we will all reap that result because it is the natural law of the action and the reaction. And then number 11, I believe I'm part of the great universe that never dies. But life is a circle. We come into it, we evolve, and we go out of life, but become a part of the great universe that never dies. Now, we can't say what did and didn't happen, whether there was a Big Bang. We're just recently discovering different elements from billions and trillions of years ago. Well, what happened to the billions and trillions of years before that? We can't say, really, we can't define, did life begin or didn't it, in one sense. But we can look at a principle and say, yes, it makes sense. It is intelligent to think that what comes first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, it's a really hard decision, isn't it? But all we can say is there is a principle involved, and we know there is a continuum of energy that flows, comes and out goes, and we are a part of that. But let's become a conscious part of that universe that never dies. So when then this physical body is gone, the energy of the mind that existed adds to this universal energy of life, rather than destroying and keeping it on a lower level. Do we want to go back to the dinosaur age? Well, that's what we're doing when we're living in our self-motivation, just living for physical life and existence. But the more we can lift our minds into the higher sphere, then we're truly living in the temple of the spirit. And then I believe the teachings of the Kabbalah and philosophy will give me a happy, healthy, and successful life. Do we believe that? Of course we do, because we've seen it exemplified in our lives. We've changed our lives. We've balanced our name. We've understood the physical laws. We're understanding the mental laws and striving to incorporate the spiritual laws of evolution. And the more that becomes a daily part of our every existence, each day, the freer and freer and freer our minds will be. And these 12 creeds will truly become the reality of our lives. Mr. Parker made a quote, "As we love to share and give and love to see happiness in the other person's eyes, we are coming closer to the God principle, because that is the principle of wisdom, to give, to love, and to serve." And that's what we're all striving for.